guys, and welcome to Black Hollywood's Sports Weekly, your weekly source for news and events in sports. Got a packed show for you guys tonight. Would you rather see a baseball game full of home runs or a no-hitter? Would you rather have Roger Goodell be your god, or would you rather him go away? And also, we're going to discuss how the NBA superstars in the Western Conference are falling like flies. All this and more up next on Sports Weekly.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live, Sports Weekly.
You know, we had to play some Beyonce, guys.
Bitch, I'm back. Bitch, I'm back.
Unfortunately, it's not Lemonade, but we're back.
Well, this is all Lemonade.
Yeah.
Well, it is, but it wasn't like,
part,
my
of
mama, part of
the
mama, Alabama.
Damn you, Louisiana. You mix that up. Got that Texas Bama.
We're crying, as you can see. Actually, Charlie, you are Creole.
Yeah.
So this is your jam.
Right down the road.
There you go. Guys, thank you for tuning in to Sports Weekly. We are crying, as always. Eric Renee Davis, you can find me on Snapchat. I'm jamming. I like my baby hair with baby hair and afros. You can find me on Snapchat, Periscope, Twitter, and Instagram at Eric Renee D.
Yes. Hey guys, I'm Raina Ale, and you can find some hot sauce in my bag. Swag! Just kidding. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ale.
Hey guys, welcome. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Charles L. Myers.
And also, shout out to Josh and Dre. We missed you guys tonight. Not really. Ha ha ha.
Sorry, you're missing the lemonade.
You're missing the lemonade, that's right. You can follow all things Black Hollywood Live.
They're probably happy about that.
Wait, oh, because they're missing the lemonade?
Yes.
Of course.
Whatever, they're lame. BlackHollywoodLive.com. Follow all things Black Hollywood Live at BlackHollywoodLive.com. And also follow Black Hollywood Live on Twitter at BHL Online. Follow us on Instagram at The Sports Week. Weekly, and let's get right into it since we have so much to talk about. Charlie, you're going to kick us off today with some baseball talk.
You know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's a baseball season for
finally,
me.
Yes.
I know. I won all 162 games of it. Now, there was some really exciting news the past couple of days. First, Andrew McCutchen hit 3 home runs in one game. Mm-hmm. That is rarely happens. It's kind of like a no-hitter or performing like a really outstanding play, as well as Robinson Cano hit his 1,000th RBI, which is unheard of, and Johnny Cueto wins his 100th game. Now, I got a question for you ladies.
Yes.
Would you rather see a no-hitter or a complete game, a multi-home run game, or a great defensive play? Now, I know you don't really go into baseball that much, but
I mean, so Charlie just tried to throw us under the bus. Thank you, Charlie.
Always, you know.
Hey, gonna start the show off like that. Okay, so no, baseball is not my favorite sport. I cannot tell a lie, but you know, I appreciate the chess game that baseball is. And with that being said, when I talk about how slow baseball is to baseball fanatics like yourself, I always hear them say, "Well, you don't understand. It's a game of strategy. It's not all about, you know, home runs." And I get that, you know, but from a lays person standpoint, I would much rather see a game full of home runs just because it looks like more offense. Like the sports that I like baseball. I mean, I like basketball. I like hockey. I like football. And it's like score, 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 run, 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 up and down the court, up and down the ice. If there are no home runs, like, why am I even here? You know?
All right.
And it sounds simple, but that's how I feel.
Okay, I'm more of a basketball guru, but the reason why I don't like baseball, like I haven't been a fan, is because when I was growing up, I played softball and I was trying to catch a pop fly and I missed it and hit me in my head. So I was, I was like, I'm over this game. It's not for me ever, but no, I'm just kidding. But basically just watching baseball, I think that it's more exciting for me when I see home runs.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, like, how far they can hit it. I want to see that, like, them celebrate. Like, I just want to, I like that part. But I do agree that having, like, a no-hitter and then going inning to inning, like, towards the end, that's cool.
That,
like, that's
exciting.
When it gets exciting. Yeah. But, like, when it's the first through six, fifth, like, those innings, I'm just like, okay.
And God forbid it goes into extra innings with, like, a no-hitter. Then it's like, can we just go to sleep? Especially as West Coasters. Like, sometimes West Coast games that go into, like, the 13th inning, it's like 1 o'clock here.
Yep. Well, I got some good news for you. So you should stay tuned to baseball this year because this year, and we've only had less than a month playing, there have been up to 4 players that have hit 9 home runs in this month alone. That is incredible. Wow. That hasn't happened before. As well as, this is not the year for the pitcher. I really believe that this is the year for the hitter. Mm-hmm. There's Robinson's Canoes. There's Bryce Harper's. And there's the new player, Trevor Story. Trevor Story hit 6 home runs in 6 games, which is unheard of. That hasn't happened since the early 1900s.
Wow.
There actually was a no-hitter. Jake Arrieta has gone 4-0, and he only has a 1.0 ERA. He has had 52 scoreless innings, which is incredible. Going from a team where he was actually sporting a 5.0 ERA, which is a great turnaround. So I would have to say, I mean, I know you don't know that much about baseball, but do you think that this is the year of the hitter, or do you think that the pitcher is going to turn it around at the end of the year?
I mean, just judging off of the 1 month opening day was, 3 weeks ago for most teams, so we're three and a half weeks into a 1,000-week long season. just based off of this very small sample size, it looks like it's going to be the year of the hitter. Which, again, for people like me who are not as enthusiastic about baseball, who want to see, you know, more excitement. Right. Even Bryce Harper, you know, who is, you know, one of the most popular baseball players, one of the most visible ones right now, wears a hat that says make baseball
better.
Or fun again,
yeah,
whatever
it is. Yeah, just like Donald Trump's slogan. Yeah.
Donald Trump.
Lord.
So, you know, even baseball players know that baseball is not fun. Now, let me take that back. Even baseball players know that baseball could be more fun.
They need to change. They're trying to change the sport around.
Yeah. But yes, to answer your question, I do think based off of the very small sample size that we have so far, being 3 weeks into the season, I think this will be the year of the hitter. And I might even watch more games. I might even watch 20 games.
And I kind of want to go to a game. I went to a Dodger game last season. My friend that I used to play at USF with, her brother's Jimmy Rollins. So we got to go see him play, and it was. I think that was my first Dodger game ever, and that was exciting to actually be there and just watch them play. That was cool. But yeah, I do think it's going to be the year of the hitter. But when you said that they're trying to change the game, like, how do you think that can happen?
So they're trying to shorten the game. So with that, they have timers between the pitcher throwing to the catcher, and then they have I think 60 seconds if a coach goes out there and talks to them. So they're slowing it down. May it be 4 minutes or 3 minutes, it is making the game shorter.
Okay.
With people out there, they're seeing these home runs, and they see these people blasting these 450 home run feet, which has not been done since the early 60s.
Yeah.
And so this is something that I think it's changing the game, making it more exciting. And I agree with you. When you go to the game, same thing with football, same with basketball, but there's a certain environment. You sit down, you watch the game, you get a ball, and you get a hot dog and some Cracker Jacks.
And a beer.
And a beer. And I feel like it's a really exciting game. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what's going to happen.
I have a question for you, Charlie. Was it Arrieta? Is it Arrieta?
Arrieta, yeah.
Who was he the one who was questioned earlier this week about steroid use, right?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
So he played Baltimore, and he sported that 5.0 ERA, and that's the reason why people are questioning. He was below 0.86 up until today, and then they only scored on him twice today.
Wow.
And so they said that, and he says, well, no, I've had this regimen, and I've made it sure that I'm working hard, and that's the reason for my success, not because of steroids.
What do you think, personally?
I don't think it is. I think some of the hitters are, but I don't think Arrieta is sporting any PED.
Year of the hitter. Well, you know, honestly, I'd say this about every sport. I know it's such a jaded perspective to have, but I feel like to be able to hit home run after home run after home run, and to be able to do the things that certain basketball players do, and to be able to, you know, stay as healthy as certain running backs are able to stay for so long, I feel like to sustain those kinds of professional careers, you have to have some help, because our bodies are not made for that wear
and tear. The
guys
are getting bigger. They are.
And baseball's, what, 182 or 162 games?
162 games.
So, yeah. So, if you're hitting.
And then back-to-back, too.
Back-to-back,
and
then you have the travel days.
Innings,
yeah.
I think I said this before, but I would be willing to shorten it to, like, 80 games, 82 games. I feel like that would be an exciting season. Keep it, I don't know. That's just my opinion, but.
I like that, actually, though. And what happens, too, over the summer is baseball is the only sport, really,
exactly.
to watch, but people still aren't really watching it. So I like your idea about shortening it to 82 games.
And just because of all the impact that it's on their players, like, yeah. just playing
Change is
all
good.
Those games.
Yeah. Change is good.
Yeah, I was going to also say Tommy John surgery. I've heard of kids who play traveling baseball whose parents are trying to get them to get Tommy John surgery before they even have an injury to
prevent. That's
crazy. It's a very psycho world, but whatever. I mean, and not psycho in a bad way. Professional pursuing professional sports in general can be psycho. Nothing against baseball.
We love baseball.
Yeah. Whatever.
Exactly.
Got some more baseball for us, Charlie?
That was all. I mean, we'll have some more next week, but I'm excited for the next coming.
What are games to watch for this next week coming
up?
So
this next week, I would keep in mind, well, there are some really – it's close right now because it's the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. I would keep an eye out for Jake Arrieta again. If you ever see him pitching, make sure you watch it. Kershaw is another one to watch.
Dodgers.
I hate if you're an Angel fan, I'm really sorry. The Angels are having some down years this year, but
It's early.
Yeah, I'm going to say watch the Cubs. The Cubs, this is their year. They're going to win this year.
That was supposed to be last year, too. What happened to that?
Well, they have the best start since 1912, so
okay.
We'll see. We'll certainly see.
All right. Well, we also will see what's going on with the NFL this week. It's not even NFL season. It's not even football season, but the NFL headlines have been dominating our screens, our phones. All you see is NFL, Roger Goodell, Tom Brady suspension, draft Sam Bradford. So we're going to talk about a little bit some of those NFL hot topics for the week, starting with Roger Goodell's four-game suspension that he gave Tom Brady last year, and then it got rescinded. And now recently the U.S. Appeals Court reinstated the suspension, essentially. Drew Brees has been very vocal about...
He's not a fan of Goodell, why.
Not even close.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So, first I want to know, do you think that Drew Brees is out of line for being so vocal, considering that he's one of the faces of the NFL as a quarterback?
No. I feel like... And I hate to say this, but this is a non-story at this
Ooh.
Point. This is something that should have been resolved. The NFL and Goodell are seeing this. They're trying to be the high horses, and they're trying to say, okay, nobody has the upper hand. Even Brady doesn't have the upper hand. We're going to give him this four-game suspension, and I think it's ridiculous. I think that a bunch of players should be going out and talking about this and saying that this is something that they shouldn't be talking about. Year ago, maybe so, but this is over and done with.
Right.
They with the Deflategate, they had a magnificent year this past year without the deflated balls.
Yeah.
So I don't get it.
Okay.
It's a non-story to me. I don't like it. I need to be over with it.
You must be a low-key Patriots fan.
I'm not. I'm a Charger fan.
Oh, that's right. Oh, okay. I got you. So what you said has some weight then.
Yeah.
Okay, I appreciate that.
I mean, I'm gonna agree with Charlie and what he said, but when it comes to Brees, I think that he can say whatever he wants about the situation, but it just makes him look so bitter. It just makes him look like he is just... It's because of that whole situation that happened before. So, I don't know.
With was it Bountygate?
I think that's the reason why he did it.
I think that's why he was so extremely vocal. Like, I think that's why he made those comments. Like, you're the executioner.
He said he called him the jury, the judge, and the executioner. That's what Drew Brees said about Roger Goodell. And that's a great point, Raina, about Bountygate, because the Saints suffered... like ridiculously after Bountygate and because of Bountygate, and it took them a while to rebuild, and they're still not back to where they were because they suffered so many penalties. But I can say that even though he's bitter, I am happy that he's making that point, because Roger Goodell has way too much power. And I was telling some friends the other day that I don't know what the appropriate process should be, but I don't think that anyone in the NFL organization, like who has ties to the NFL directly, should be making appeals process decisions. That's just me. Like, I think they need to hire an outside firm, like maybe made of lawyers, it may be made of former coaches, former players, so that every person's opinion has a different weight and everyone can offer a different perspective. Otherwise, it's like you piss Roger Goodell off, you're on his SHIT list, And depending on how he feels, he wakes up this morning, oh, this is what you're going to get. So I don't know. I agree with Drew Brees, and I'm not knocking Drew Brees for being salty about that today.
Right, no.
Do you see him getting the forum game suspension? I don't see him getting it. I think him going down. I think he's going to get two or one.
I think he's going to get two. I agree with you. I think he'll get two. Right now.
I don't even know. You never know. Maybe two.
Yeah, no, you don't know because who even thought this would come
exactly,
back up?
Exactly, because it happened so long ago, and now it's like four games. Okay. We'll see what happens next time. See how when he wakes up, how is he going to feel like when season starts?
Yeah.
He might be like, oh, I think it's going to be two games instead.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's going to be four.
Here's an interesting plot twist, though, and I'm just totally making this up. Don't quote me unless it comes true. Then you can quote me all day, put it all over television. What if Tom Brady decides over the summer that this is his last season? What if he says, you know what, guys, I've done all I can do. I'm retiring at the end of this season. I think if he made a blockbuster announcement like that, which he could, he's 39 years old, he's reached the mountaintop multiple times and has achieved every level of success in the league. Let's say he decides that. Then I think that at that point, his suspension would definitely either be reduced or would go away completely.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I think the same. I agree.
Plot twist. News broke right here at BHL. Who knew?
Remember us. Erica said that.
That's right. NFL Draft is live as we speak. Let's talk about a little bit about what's happened so far. We got number one, our LA Rams, our Los Angeles Rams, picked Jared Goff, quarterback from Cal. Philly took another quarterback, Carson Wentz. San Diego took Joey Bosa. Cowboys took Ezekiel Elliott from Ohio State. Jaguars took Jalen Ramsey. Number six pick was Ravens with Ronnie Stanley. 49ers took DeForest Buckner. The Titans took Jake Conklin. Nine, the Bears took Baby Dog from UGA, Leonard Floyd. And number 10 pick was the Giants, Eli Apple. Any losers, winners that you guys want to discuss? I mean, it's kind of an uneventful draft because these are a bunch of no-name players.
I think what was most eventful was the outfit. Oh, my gosh. Let me pull it up.
Are you talking about the shoes?
That was Ezekiel. Ezekiel Elliott.
His little crop top.
Yeah. You got to show off your belly. I mean, if you got it, right?
I can't. That was the worst.
You hated the crop top?
What? Well, crop tops are made for women.
Well, okay.
I'm sorry.
But he wears a crop top. That's what he wears his jersey. That's why he wore it.
I don't care.
You don't care?
Okay. No, that's not okay. You can't. No.
Charlie.
I'm not a fan.
I mean, he's setting a statement.
He's a real statement. He's a real statement.
I mean, I wouldn't,
that's a loser. So yeah. Ezekiel,
he's the loser in my book from what he's like. Come on, Ezekiel. Can't do that.
That's hilarious. Okay, loser winner to you so far?
I would say the loser has not been picked yet.
Ooh.
I forgot his name, but it what was his name again?
Laramie Tunzel from
Laramie Tunzel.
Oh,
yes. He on Twitter or his Instagram, a real brief video of him smoking weed with a mask on, and then he deleted it like that. He was supposed to be picked number six on my projected list from Baltimore, but. As of right now, he has not been picked at all.
See, that's...
That's so unfortunate,
yes.
It's stupid. Like, honestly, like, make me understand, guys. Like, what do you not understand? What do kids not understand about social media and how there's nothing that you can post that can be deleted? And there's... If you're a projected number 10 draft pick, if you're a hella projected overall top... round one draft pick, everyone's watching your every move, your agents' friends, your potential coaches, not just from the team that might draft you, but from other teams. Everyone's watching. Like, why would you do that?
Especially now with Johnny Manziel doing what he's doing.
And Josh Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, we're angry.
Super salty.
It's unfortunate. Like, you really had to put that on social media. Like, obviously, you know that you're going to be put in the spotlight because of your talents, and that should be a positive thing. Like, you should change that as, you know, like, I know I'm going to be in the spotlight. I know cameras are going to follow me. People are going to follow me on Twitter. I bring a lot of attention to myself. So I can't act a certain way publicly or even present myself like that on social media.
You can't be smoking a banned substance. Ever or have a picture,
right.
have photo evidence of it. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know if his Instagram or Facebook or Twitter got hacked, but.
Or phone.
Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell. Some of his teammates are jealous and posted that video. I don't know. You never know.
That's a good idea, Charlie. So if you guys are out there watching on the Tunzel team, let him know that maybe you can even say, oh, I got hacked. It really wasn't me. That's a really good decoy.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Alibi, rather. One more NFL story. Sam Bradford. That's not the NFL story. Sam Bradford! He wants out of Philly. Sam Bradford is like, look.
That boy.
Seriously. Right. He wants out of Philly. He says, and then he said earlier this week he didn't want to play for Chip Kelly, who's now the coach of the 49ers, who was the coach of the Eagles. Is Sam Bradford out of line for trying to get out of Philly?
You go ahead.
What's the lemonade on that?
I just want to know, how much is his contract? Do you know?
He has a 2-year contract.
Oh, it's a lot.
It's a lot. Let me look it up. Or Charlie, maybe you can look it up quicker than I could. I know he's under a 2-year contract with Philly. I'm not exactly sure the exact dollar amount, but his issue wasn't the money as much as it was the fact that Philly traded up
to
the number two to get another quarterback. Because essentially what he's thinking is, oh, I only have a 2-year contract for X amount of dollars,
right,
and it's only 2 years, and the team that I'm the starting quarterback for is trading way up to get another quarterback. So 2 years, going up to the number two pick to get another quarterback, that means that I'm expendable. So, because he's made $78 million right, over the course of his career. So it's an ego thing with him now.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, I don't really follow Bradford, really, but I think it kind of makes him look a little weak to me, that, mm-hmm, like, you're backing out of a challenge. Like, you want this this rookie. You're already thinking in your mind that he's going to take your spot.
Yeah.
And that just... that's terrible to me. Like, come on, you should take that as a challenge. Like, okay, you guys wanna get a quarterback? Okay, then I'm gonna work my ass off this summer or this offseason and come back killing it. Yeah. You know, so I don't know. That was a dumb mistake on his end, from my opinion.
So I guess I'm old fashioned in this way. You beat your competitor by doing well in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would have done, say for instance, I saw that number two draft pick. I would have been upset, maybe possibly told my agent.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, I'm going to play really well during that season. And at that point, I'm going to request a trade. Right. Say for instance, I'm done with the season. I go and play for a great team. Then great things happen for me. Right now, I don't see anything happen for him.
And Sam Bradford, mind you, has a losing record as a starting quarterback in the NFL. He really hasn't been even prolific or stand out since his days at Oklahoma. And then he was injury prone then too. Yeah, I agree with both of you. Like, Raina, like you said, if you want to prove yourself, you prove yourself by working your ass off over the summer. Or you prove yourself by working your ass off during the season. And then you're like, oh, look how good I am. Now I want to trade. But it's like, you already have this negative idea of what they're going to do with you because you suck.
Yeah. And did you hear what the Eagles are asking for?
No, what?
They're asking for a number one or a number two pick. That's not going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
It's not going to happen. I see him maybe possibly being traded for like a fifth round pick, but...
Yeah, Sam Bradford, you are not... you're not what you used to be. That's okay,
come on,
though.
Sam, work harder.
You're not what you used to be.
I don't know. I just think that's like, that's weak to me. Like, come on.
You're too young, Sam Bradford, to be giving up so easily.
No.
5 years in the league and you're already giving up like that over a number two draft pick, Carson Wentz.
A child, too. Like, come
on. Who is Carson Wentz? Up. Yeah. Jeez Louise.
Well, Carson, do your thing.
I know, because
clearly it's there.
You got scaredy cat boots over there in Philly who's trying to get out of Philly because you're coming. Jeez Louise, your job is easy already. Barely put the jersey on.
All right, so let's talk about basketball. So the NBA playoffs, we just finished the first round, the Warriors. Let's start with the Warriors. They beat Houston. Did you guys get a chance to watch the game, the last game?
Last night's game.
It was a joke.
It was, honestly, the Warriors killed it. They played like a team. They had Steph's back. Steph actually is out for 2 weeks with a sprained MCL. But he'll be back. But it was just fun to watch that game. It was fun for me to see them. Klay Thompson was killing. No, it was fun to watch the Warriors play. Now the Rockets, they just gave. Oh my gosh, they're.
Who said it on the Rockets said that they were gonna win that game?
Freaking Jess. It was Jason Terry, and he had no points.
Zero, and he was like 0 for 8. I think
was 0 for 8.
Something.
Him and Sam Bradford to be friends.
I know, but so Steph's out for about 2 weeks with the sprained MCL, and then the Clippers
Ooh.
We have Miss Clipper Nation over here.
I'm sorry, Miss Clipper Nation.
Clippers lost CP3.
It's over.
Due to a fractured third
metacarpal. His middle finger.
Yeah, his
middle finger.
Sorry. And then also Blake Griffin with a quad injury. Yeah. So they're both out for the remainder of the season. And there goes the Clippers.
Wait, how do we just jump from the Warriors?
Well, I'm talking about for the two injuries. You have Steph hurt, and then you have Chris Paul and Blake hurt. So, okay, let's talk about the Warriors first, since the Clippers are going to be like, we're just going to end with them. How do you think the Warriors will hold up with Steph being out for a little while?
The Warriors will face who next round? The
Blazers.
Yes, Blazers. Yeah. Oh, so they're gonna breeze through the Blazers, because honestly, the Blazers have no. Even though the Clippers were depleted, the Blazers shouldn't even be beating us with a depleted Clippers team. Like, I think we just have completely lost our heart and all hope and all will to carry on. Mm-hmm. So the Warriors are gonna breeze through that round. But what I think will happen is when they get to the Spurs,
yep.
mm-hmm.
Western Conference,
right.
I think even if Steph is back, I don't think he's going to be 100%. And his ankle injury from the beginning
right.
of the playoffs, which is a lingering injury from the beginning mm-hmm. of his career, so you have that compounded with the new MCL sprain. He's going to be playing, of course, but he's not going to be
100%. Right.
And I think even though the Spurs are the most boring team to watch, they are the most dangerous because none of those starters play more than 30 minutes a game.
No.
So they're rested. They're rested during the season because he rests them, and they're rested because they don't play a shit ton of minutes. So that is going to be the nemesis, whether Steph is back or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when the
You think the OKC won't give the Spurs a run for their money?
No.
Not
even a chance. I don't see it happening. Okay. The Spurs are too unstoppable. Like mm-hmm. you said, they're rested, they're ready to go. I see them beating the Warriors.
Okay.
I really do. I said it before. I think it's going to be the Cavaliers, and I think it's going to be the Spurs.
I like that. Ooh.
Well, I think the Warriors, they will definitely breeze through the Blazers. I mean, I'm not really worried about that series. But, yes, they are going to have some difficulties with the Spurs because Pop is such a smart coach,
mm-hmm.
and he's all about, like, fundamentals. He's not into, like, that flashy type of game. I mean, you can see it in the players that he has on his team, too. Yeah, that series is going to be difficult. Steph isn't going to be 100%, yes, but I think the heart of the Warriors will get them past
mm-hmm.
that series. But it's definitely going to be Spurs and Warriors.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that series. Steph, I hope you feel better. I hope you get better soon, because I want you guys to win. But the Clippers! Let's talk about the Clippers. So is it over for the Clippers? Well, it is over for the Clippers.
God, yeah.
But actually, this is the better question. Who's the bigger loss for the Clippers, Miss Clipper Nation? CP3 or Blake Griffin? If you had to pick one or the other, like, which one affects the team more?
I would say the bigger loss is CP.
Okay.
Yep,
because our offense with Chris Paul on the court ranked second in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, Blake was out from December 25th until like 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And we still, I think, had a 53-game win season without Blake. So we know that we can be successful is mm-hmm. relative, without Blake on the floor. And Chris Paul, even though he has not had the most luck in playoffs, has some of the best numbers
mm-hmm.
from a point guard in NBA's
Absolutely.
History.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So, Blake, I love you, but that quad injury that's lingering, I would have much rather lost you two times over than to have lost CP.
Yep.
I don't see them, because they have one more game against the Raptors, right?
The Blazers.
Yeah,
the Blazers. Game six is in Portland, I think, tomorrow
yeah.
or Saturday.
And his replacements are Jamal Crawford and
Austin Rivers. Don't knock Jamal Crawford, because Jamal Crawford is a scorer. He is a shooter, but he's the sixth man, so you need that coming off the
right.
bench. And you can't play him 1,000 minutes.
You don't think Austin was, like, waiting for the – I mean, not waiting. Obviously, I'm sure he did not want this to happen to CP3, but do you think that this is his time to, like, shine? You think he might turn it around?
I think we saw Austin's coming out party last year against the Spurs. Like, he proved himself defensively last year in our first round matchup against the Spurs. He – You know, he scored when he needed to score. He was emphatic when we needed him to be that. But Chris Paul also wasn't hurt. So he didn't have the pressure of carrying the team. And so do I think that Austin can step into this role these next two games? Hopefully. I don't even care. But do I think that Austin can step into that leadership role and really be that man? I don't. I don't think he has the finesse. I think he has not really been groomed to be an NBA player yet. I still look at him kind of as like a rusty college player, you know. He has his shining moments, but he's not a leader. He's still a kid to me. Like he still exhibits very kid-like qualities, and they show on the court, and it's stupid. It makes me so pissed.
I think the bigger loss for the Clippers, I'm going to agree with you, Erica. CP3 is the loss. I mean, he has so much heart, and it sucked. I don't know if you guys saw the video of him when he found out that he broke his finger. He was so upset. You could just see it in his face how that broke him. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he's been wanting to make it out of the Western Conference Finals for a while
forever.
Now. Like, he came to LA for that purpose. And this happens to him. But I think the Clippers losing CP3 was way harder on them than losing Blake.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna hate me for the saying, but
you might as well ready for me to fight you.
Bridesmaid, never bride.
For sure. No, I agree. Like, the Clippers have definitely been in the shadow of the Lakers, and I think if the Lakers weren't the other team in the city, then it wouldn't be as hard of a pill to swallow. And I always tell Lakers fans this, because Lakers fans love to say, the Clippers only played 4 more games than we did. Y'all still suck. and I always explain to people this. I graduated from University of Georgia. I love our university system in our state. Uh-huh. But when it comes down to it academically and athletically, like, UGA is a superior school in the state. I don't go around saying, you went to Mercer. Ha, 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 your team.
Yes.
Like, I don't give any energy to teams that don't matter to me. So I don't understand why Lakers fans spend so much energy hating on a team that's irrelevant. So that's the first thing I want to say. So Lakers fans, I know there's nothing for you to do for the next 5
where are you?
I know there's nothing else for you to do. There's no NBA for you guys to watch for the foreseeable future, so I get it. But still, like, why care about a team that's so irrelevant? That's my first thing. My second thing that I want to say is the LA Kings hockey took them, I think, 46 years to win a championship. It took them 46 years. So it's possible that the Clippers will see their day. It's just that, you know, it's not their day, and it hasn't been their day for the past X amount of years.
Yeah, no, I definitely think a team can turn around, like, at any point. I mean, the Warriors were terrible back when I was at USF. Like, ticket prices to go to a game were so cheap, like, because they were so bad. But look at them now, and I was like, damn. I've been out of college for like 4 years now. 5 years?
Sorry. Don't look at us.
Sorry. I didn't know. I was like thinking out loud for that one. But anyways, yeah. So, it's any given moment, like, any team can have it.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes time to build. It'd be interesting to see what teams will do this offseason as well, especially the Clippers.
Do you think they should blow that team up? Do you think the Clippers should be blown up after... do you think that they should start getting rid of people? I know CP's and Blake's.
I think they should start definitely making a change.
Okay.
Because the talent that you have with the players, like, you have DeAndre, you got to make your free throws, dog.
Jesus.
Oh, my goodness.
Jesus, help the
no.
You can't airball two free throws in one game.
What's
like
his percent right now? Do you know?
It's like less than 40%.
Ooh.
It might be right at 40. After last night, I stopped looking. I was like, I don't care anymore.
But I don't know. I think the Clippers need to make some changes for sure. I mean, you have the team. You
coaching
have the
change
players.
Too?
See, I like Doc. I don't know.
Charlie?
I like him.
I think they need to scrap it all.
Doc too?
Doc too.
Really? What about you? What do you think?
I go back and forth about Doc because Doc also makes personnel decisions. And I've been going to Clippers games since I moved here. And that was before they were good. This was before Blake. And one thing I can say about Doc, he has not made a lot. He has not made significant improvements from Vinny Del Negro's days.
Nope.
I think he's only had one season where he's won one more game than Vinny. And other than that, like, his regular season record has been pretty much consistent with what Vinny's was. And his postseason record, getting, you know, bounced first or second round, that's what we were doing before Doc got here, too. And one thing that Doc has not done that Vinny did do, Vinny always had a bench. And like we used to, and we had, you know, I think Bledsoe and Collison were here during the Doc days, but we had like Mo Williams, like we had at least three people on the bench who could carry the game and keep us in the games. And we have not had that with Doc, and he makes personnel decisions too when it comes to the team. So I
see dark days for us Californians right now. I mean, the Lakers are doing not so good.
Don't put the Clippers in there.
The Clippers are going to be right next to them. I see it next year. They're going to be shipping everybody off, trading everybody. That's just my opinion.
I think the Clippers need to make some player changes. Yeah. But when do you think when could you blame a team, like their success rate, on the players or the coaches? Like, when do you know it's like, oh, you have all these players, you don't win, it's the coach's fault. Or, I don't know, the team just sucks.
I don't see it being Rivers' fault. I don't think it's his fault by any means. I think it's the team's chemistry. And so there's a lot of things that have happened this year in particular with Griffin. Mm-hmm. And I just think that they need to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, by you just saying that just sparks something. Remember before when we first started about the preseason?
You were talking about the lack
of chemistry.
I was talking
about the chemistry between the Clippers. And they start off with Lance Stephenson, remember?
Yeah.
And he's gone.
Yeah.
So chemistry might be a big deal with the Clippers.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but look at the Warriors. Look at them. They're joking around all the time, and look how successful they are. They have good players.
They have great players, but they
joke around like crazy. They're having fun out there.
They get along.
They get along. You can tell. I don't know. This chemistry thing is. I don't know. I don't know what to say. Oh, but I do have this to say. I'm going to get spiritual on you guys for a second. I do want to get spiritual.
Go ahead, girl, because I went to a church retreat this weekend.
Okay. I went to church last weekend. It was great. I need to go again Sunday.
Retreat.
Oh, you went to church retreat.
Remember?
I did. I saw that.
God is good.
Raina went to a church retreat this weekend, and she's listening to Ginuwine in your jeans on the way to the retreat. I saw it on Snapchat.
That is a great song.
So can you go back to what you were talking about?
So my point is this. People say there's a Clippers curse. I just outed you. It's funny, though. There's a Clippers curse. And I think that Clippers are cursed. Like, is it the Cubs that are cursed?
The Cubs are cursed.
Is it the Babe Ruth or the GOAT? What is it? The GOAT
curse? It's the GOAT curse.
The GOAT, okay.
Yeah, it's stupid, but yes.
Okay, so I do believe that the Clippers are really cursed. And I believe that someone needs to walk through Staples Center in that locker room in their practice facility in El Segundo with some holy water and some blessed oil.
Girl, you're not about to put that on a curse. No, I don't agree.
I'm serious. I really think that someone needs to walk through their facilities and pray over that team. I'm serious, and I do. I mean, now listen, I know God doesn't choose sides, Lakers, Clippers, whatever, Warriors, Clippers, he doesn't care. But I really do believe in the power of prayer, and the Clippers need prayer.
They need a little more than prayer.
Raina, church retreat, Raina.
You know what? I'll just keep in my prayer requests every night. I'll pray for them tonight, and I'll pray for Doc.
Put it off the
side. Mean, I could go to El Segundo and you know, bless their facility if you'd like me to.
Will you?
Okay, yeah, sure.
Thank you.
See, there we go.
You. You know, we should totally do it. We'll record it, and then, yeah, we'll make an episode of that.
I'll do the Running Man Challenge after that.
After the Running Man Challenge. Okay, perfect. any more Lemonade news before we wrap this up?
Lemonade.
Have you seen the whole Lemonade?
Oh,
go ahead.
And is there anything pop culture related to sports?
Let's see what's going on. Nothing's going on. Oh, how about Isaiah Thomas bringing his kids on the...
So cute.
Okay, I think that was so forced.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was him competing with Steph Curry.
I did too. It was so forced.
Oh, I was.
And that
I didn't
was
see
cute.
The, I didn't see that. But, and I just saw. I didn't see the actual press conference, but I just saw the and like the clips. I think it was on somebody's Instagram, and he was like, "Thank you." That's all I saw. I thought that was cute.
It wasn't. It didn't seem authentic. Charlie,
oh, really?
Agree?
Yeah, I agree. And on that note, the Hawks just won. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Also, it's over.
Yeah, it's over. The Hawks just won.
Good job, Hawks.
104-92.
And I picked them too.
You did.
I did.
And
pick
we
them
all picked the Celtics.
Upset the Celtics.
Well, the Celtics were the upset because they were the 5 seed.
Oh no! Actually, yeah, I picked the Celtics.
Hawks are going to be playing the Cavaliers, and the Cavaliers are going.
We'll
murder
see.
Them.
We'll see. Okay, congrats, home team Hawks. I'm not a Hawks fan, but I am from Georgia. Congrats, home team Hawks. Charlie, it yes. seemed insincere. Like, the kid, like...
Oh, yeah.
It seemed very rehearsed. I feel like someone in the Celtics office was like, we gotta get a cute little kid up here. We gotta compete with Riley. It was so staged.
And he, like, walked off to the side, like...
Yeah, he went away!
I thought it... Yeah.
Really?
It was bad. And the kid started, rehearsing, like, reciting lines. Like, my daddy's the best basketball player in the world. And it would have been cute had they not come after Riley. It was forced.
Oh, I didn't see that. I just saw the end. Okay. Thank you. Oh, well.
All right. Raina's got hot sauce in her bag, swag.
I do. My bag's over there. Red Rooster, to be exact.
And we're done. We're done here. Sports Weekly, every Thursday night at 7 o'clock on VHL. You can find us here. You want to be here. We have all the best news and sports and whatever. Erica Renee Davis, you can find me on Snapchat, Periscope, Twitter, and on Instagram at Erica Renee D.
And I'm Raina Ale. You can find me on Instagram, Instagram and Twitter at Raina_Ale.
And I'm Charlie Myers, and you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
And you can follow all things Black Hollywood Live on blackhollywoodlive.com. You can follow Black Hollywood Live on Twitter at @BHLOnline. You can follow us on Instagram at The Sports Weekly. And until next Thursday night at 7 o'clock, see ya.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at @BHLOnline. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, @KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.